With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are a day away from Nebraska football returning. All right. I told Jake, I put out my prediction earlier this week. The headline of the show is, did Adam Carriker change his prediction for Nebraska versus Penn State? Now, I put it out earlier this week. I had Nebraska 24, Penn State 21. I always reserve the right to change my prediction. And I have a couple of times. I've changed score predictions. Not a lot. Well, this is our 11th game of the year. So through the first 10 games, I think I've done it three times. It's about one out of every three. I do reserve the right to change my mind. My wife can do it. Why can't I do it? Hi, honey. How are you? Not just her. I do it all the time. I probably do it more than her, to be honest with you. She's a little bit more organized. I'm a little bit more fly by the seat of my pants, so I tend to change my mind a little bit more. She's a little bit more ready and prepared. Other than shows, I'm absurdly prepared for shows, but I always reserve the right to change my opinion. And I told Jake, what did I tell you? What did I tell you right before the glass shattered and the show started? What did I tell you?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot.
You never listen to me, do you? What did I tell you? I said I'm literally still debating.
Yeah.
Did I not tell you that? I'm literally still debating. So I'll even put something out a lot of times on Friday at noon, social media. But this show ends at 1. This show is the be-all, end-all when it comes to if Adam Carriker is going to change his mind on a prediction. I'm still going back and forth. So here's what we're going to do. We got a lot to talk about this show. Husker sports running wild, ladies and gentlemen. Nebraska women's basketball 5-0. Men's basketball 5-0. You watched that game at all last night versus New Mexico?
Absolutely. It was awesome.
Dude. Oklahoma's head coach, like, they're going to be there in March. You look at Nebraska women's basketball. This is the best team on paper Amy Williams has put together. Let me repeat that. This is the best team on paper Amy Williams has put together. This is her ninth season here at Nebraska, I believe. Is that correct?
I can look it up.
Wake up from your nap, Jake.
I don't know what golly season is for Amy Williams off the top of my
head. Well, why not? So, with Fred Hoiberg, we're five games in. We look really good. New Mexico is typically pretty good at basketball. They were 3-1 coming into last night. And beat them by double digits. Looked pretty good, especially as the game went along. This may be the best team Fred Hoiberg has put together. Now, Amy Williams has taken Nebraska women's basketball to the tournament, won a tournament game. Hoiberg, we still have the nation's longest winning streak. Technically, we won a postseason tournament. I mean, these things are all factually correct, right?
That's right.
This still may be the best team he's put together. The crown tournament counts. Okay. Did you find out yet?
10th season.
10th season. All right. Now, I legit believe this is Fred Hoiberg's best team on paper. This is Amy Williams' best team on paper. The rifle team is number one. On paper, this is the best wrestling team Mark Manning's had. A little bit of a rough start, but I have no doubt they're going to bounce back. You have a returning national champion. You have another one who comes in. You got all Americans. You got a program finally getting somewhat of the recognition that they should have, they deserve. They should have had for a long time. Rifle team number one. You look at softball. Of their five best players from a year ago, four of them are back, including the best player in the country, Jordy Ball. Remember, they were one inning away. They were one pitch away from going to the Women's College World Series.
They're going to be as good, if not better. Better. I predict them to be better. Now, admittedly, men's baseball, back-to-back Big Ten champions, I have not looked to see who's returning and who's not. Do you have any idea off the top of your head? And we're way ahead of their season. But just looking at other Husker sports, I've never been this excited to talk all Husker sports as I am right here, right now, which is why I'm leading off a day before Nebraska at Penn State football game talking about other Husker sports. That's how excited I am. Don't worry, we're going to get in the game. And I'm still trying to figure out my prediction. I'm going to buy it as much time as I can.
Is that what you're doing? You're just buying time?
I have it till 1 o'clock, dadgummit. What do you know about the baseball team? Admittedly, I've not looked at all. I can't speak to them at all, like I can most of these other teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know necessarily. They got some guys to replace. But again, like you said, at least the momentum of having won the last couple
of
years.
Of all of them, they may be the team with the least amount of returning guys. Because remember, we had a ton last year, which is why I'm not as familiar with them. And again, we're way ahead of baseball season. Now, baseball notwithstanding, two-time Big Ten champs, softball, basketball, both basketballs. You got wrestling. You got rifle. Don't forget about track, top 25 last year.
Bowling?
Frickin' bowling, the best bowling program in the country. Are they number two right now? Do you know the answer to anything? I'm throwing at you randomly out of nowhere.
They were, last time I checked, they were number one according to RPI.
But... okay. We go by whatever ranks us the highest. That's what we do. We're like the SEC. We pick and choose the facts we want. It's our narrative to create. You know, have you ever noticed I have two different sayings when it comes to facts? Facts don't care about feelings. This is when I'm being more serious. When I'm being more facetious and having fun, don't let facts get in the way of a good story. It's just whatever narrative I want to go with that day. Again, one is when I'm more serious. One is when I'm having more fun. So I can't wait to start talking about more of these. But you watch Nebraska. Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about volleyball. Like the most obvious one. You look at volleyball last night. Okay, we're just going to go into this a little bit. Then we're going to get to the clips, and we will get to football as well. Let me go back to the beginning here of all my notes. So we're going to start with women's basketball. 5-0, Britt Prince. All right, so in a recent game, Nebraska women's basketball, okay, Oral Roberts, they beat him 103-58. But Britt Prince had 30 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. She was 4 from 6 from 3-point land. All right, not to be outdone, Eliza McPain had 17 points. Nebraska had 49 rebounds. Oral Roberts at 27. Okay. The opponents will get tougher, but Britt Prince now has 503 career points. She was a teenager last year. Just to reiterate that to people, she's a sophomore, and that's how young she is. She ties her single-game career high with 24, all right, as well. So Nebraska women's basketball looks really good so far. Obviously, the competition will get tougher, but this is the best team Amy Williams has had on paper, in my humble opinion. Nebraska volleyball, 27-0. 17-0, clinched a share of the Big Ten title by taking down our good friends from Iowa. Iowa has not beaten Nebraska in a set. Do you know how many? I actually know this answer. Just throw a big number out there.
50.
Close, 43. We've won 43 straight sets versus our good and inferior friends from Iowa. Yeah, I said it. All right, this is the third straight season where the Huskers have clinched at least a share of the Big Ten title. They could lose every match for the rest of the year. They got a share of the Big Ten title. All right, let me see what we got here. The Huskers hit at 384 and held the Hawkeyes to a clip of .073. Think about that. Think about that. We have the best defensive team in the country. Remember I casually threw out like 2 months ago that we were last in the Big Ten when it came to serving aces? Mm. We've gone up. We're second to last. Who cares, though? Like, we're so good in every other department. And you and I debated, do you think they do that on purpose because they're so good in every other department? It's kind of like, maybe this is or isn't our strength, but let's put ourselves in a position to have success, which is, hey, we're going to keep your hitting percentage to an abysmal 0.073 while we're hitting almost 3.5. You know what I mean? So for me, Nebraska volleyball, obviously there's some high expectations there. I'm not going to lie to you. College football coaches have said, other sport coaches have said, but mostly football because you play less games, so each game tends to mean more. I'd almost rather lose a game and our team becomes better because they lose a game, they get the pressure of the undefeated season off their shoulders. It's a reminder that you've not arrived yet, and a lot of times we're better after a loss, they'll go on to win a national title. He's like, had we been undefeated at the regular end of the regular season, we may not have been in as good of a mental state. So part of me almost wishes they'd lose a set, but I don't think that's necessary. They've got a fire in their belly. Final Four last year, obviously didn't win at all. National championship match, lost to the bad guys from Austin 2 years ago. Most of those players are back. I don't think they need a reminder. I think they're raring to go. What I also love watching is if you watch, like, it's not just the starters that are making plays. Bump, set, spike, all that digs, all that stuff. Like, there's a rotation. Denny Busboom Kelly is getting so many of these players experience, and they have depth. Not just for this year, God forbid any injuries, but going forward in the future. And then you keep recruiting at the insane high level that they're at. It's going to be crazy to watch in a very good way going forward. All right, we go to football. Here's why I've struggled. 11 games, let's just include Iowa, 12 games this year. 9 of them, I was like, I know what to expect. Not the score, or who's going to win. We always have fun giving keys to the game. The keys to the game, honestly, haven't been too hard to figure out this year, especially more often than not. The prediction, obviously, is a little bit more challenging. But what to expect from the opponent? 9 times out of 12, it's not been rocket science. Hey, Michigan's going to come in and run the ball 1,000 times. Iowa's going to do the same. All right? Maryland's going to throw the ball a little bit more. I mean, Houston Christian and Akron, you kind of knew. A lot of these teams, Minnesota's going to Minnesota, unfortunately. And there's been 3 games where I was like, I don't know. Cincinnati, first game of the year. Don't know what to expect from either team. By the way, a whole lot better than a lot of people thought going into that game. I call them a dark horse Big 12 contender since. They have been since. I said it the day after. They have been since. Now, they're probably not going to get to the Big 12 championship game, which is hence the term dark horse, but they've been in that conversation all year. And then UCLA, hey, true freshman quarterback on our end. They've been wildly unpredictable the whole year. Okay, didn't know what to make of it. Penn State's the same. What I do expect, what I do feel safe in saying is they're going to come out with emotions. We are a team that starts fast. We don't always maintain it for the full 4 quarters. Part of that's being young. Part of that is coaches growing in their in-game management. You're not an A-plus in everything as a player, so why do we expect coaches to be the same? You have certain areas you need to improve in. That's one I would like to see progressive growth in as the season goes along and years go along. But I expect Penn State to come out with a lot of emotion. Senior day, that's a veteran roster. That's a veteran roster. Katron Allen, Nick Singleton, they've been co-starters for 2 years as the running backs. Offensive line, guys on defense. Had Drew Aller not gotten hurt, it was his 3rd year starting. That's a veteran roster. That's the last time they're ever going to play a game. Beaver Stadium, Happy Valley. I expect them to come out with emotions. My question is, does it last 4 full quarters? Does it last 4 quarters? Because that can be hard to do. Do we start fast? And how do we do through 4 full quarters? Because we haven't maintained it yet through a game, which is hard to do. Who's the better second half team? Who's the better second half team? I don't like the fact that they ran the ball 50 plus times last week. That makes me nervous. I'd rather they try to throw it 50 plus times, but they're not going to. Their freshman backup quarterback has thrown as many interceptions, 4, as he has touchdown passes, 4, since Drew Aller went out and he became the starter. They're 112th in the country in passing offense. They're facing an elite pass defense. Our run defense is 90th, 91st in the country. Now, their run stats aren't going to blow you away as a whole, but they know the strength of their team is their offensive line, which was a preseason Joe Moore Award offensive line favorite, preseason favorite to win the top offensive line in the country. Now, that's not going to come to fruition, but they're still really good. The most talented running back duo in the country. So I think they're going to run the ball 50-plus times. I don't know. I don't know if that makes you feel great as a Husker fan. So that's got me nervous. I do think that TJ Latif, when he took over, I said our floor just got lower and our ceiling just got higher. Remember, we did like a whole show on that. Floor got lower, ceiling got higher. Now, TJ's floor is probably still lower than Dylan's, just being younger. This is his first true road test. UCLA became Lincoln West. Shout out to Husker fans. Never take any Big Ten wins for granted. But this is a true road test on an emotional day for the other team. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of friends and family in the stands making extra noise as well, those seniors and upperclassmen. So the floor is probably still lower than Dylan. I still think the ceiling is higher just because he can threaten you with his legs in a way that we hadn't had from the quarterback position this year. Not a shot, just is what it is, beyond obvious. What I'm getting at, though, is TJ Latif's floor, as I saw it going into UCLA, is higher against Penn State. Even though the competition is better, he's shown enough. He has shown enough that he still has a lower floor than Dylan just because of his age and inexperience and things of that nature. But his floor is higher significantly in my mind than what it was at UCLA after what I saw from him. But I think our ceiling is still higher with him, at least for now. I guess not a shot at anybody, just for now. So to me, I'm actually like, that makes me feel better. We got a younger, less experienced quarterback starting. The floor might be lower, but the ceiling might be higher, but the floor is not as low as it was, in my opinion, at UCLA. Now that we're going to Penn State, I actually might feel a little bit better about that. And here's a stat I threw around, and I'm going to throw it out there again. Penn State, top five roster in the country, preseason number two. Okay? All that's true. They might show up, and they might be that team on Saturday. I expect that team to come out the tunnel and be there the first quarter, maybe the second quarter. What happens the third? What happens the fourth? I don't know. What happens with us the third and the fourth? I don't know. When I think about Penn State, they're the same team that's only beaten one team all year with a winning record, Villanova. Villanova is an FCS team. This is not basketball, with all due respect to their football program. They have beaten zero FBS teams with a winning record this year. Did you know that?
Not off the top of my head, no.
You don't know anything off the top of your head today. Your in-depth knowledge is phenomenal, but off the top of your head, man, you're not a few fries short of a Happy Meal. Join me like I am every day. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, a few fries short of a Happy Meal. That's how I operate every day. Come join me. All right, it's fun over here. That's why my wife is more decisive than I am and more organized than I am outside of shows. In the second half, are they the team that's riding the emotions of the first half still? The number preseason number two team in the country that took Oregon to double overtime? Top five roster? Or do they become that team in the second half that has beaten zero FBS teams with a winning record this year? And what does Nebraska do? Are we the team that starts fast? How many double-digit leads have we blown this year? We blew two against Maryland alone. Blew another one versus Michigan State. Now, we didn't blow, I don't want to say blow, I mean, we did. Almost blew a 21-point lead to UCLA. Now, I do think the game plan and game calling changed once we got up by that much. And sometimes that makes sense. No point in taking a risk. But do we get a big lead and let them back in? Do they get a big lead? How do we respond if they're riding the wave of emotions? One of the biggest, us stopping the run's a huge key. Protecting TJ Latif is a huge key. The second half. This game will be won and lost in the second half. And I don't know what to make of it. Do they come out and run the ball 80 times? I'm not going to lie to you. I might be tempted to do that if I'm Penn State. Katron Allen, get your 40 carries. Nick Singleton, get your 40 carries. They're not going to do that. I'm just saying, what do they have to lose? And if I'm Penn State, I'm looking at an elite pass defense and a 91st in the country ranked run defense, and I'm looking at our backfield, and I'm looking at my young quarterback, and I'm looking at our O-line. That's what makes me nervous. Thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, it's a tough game to predict for a lot of people. I mean, Penn State being as heavy a favorite definitely surprises folks. But to that rushing game defense, again, these are a couple NFL backs. I mean, Emmett Johnson is going to be considered, considering going to the NFL. Both these guys right now would be projected ahead of him. And so, you know, you got to look out for that, especially in the big game runs. That's what I've been talking about. I think Nebraska's gotten a little bit better as the season progressed, certainly compared to, you know, the Michigan game, that sort of stuff. As far as not allowing big game runs, if Penn State gets 180 yards on the ground, probably going to happen, right? But is it going to be, kind of churning away, trying to pick up, you know, third downs and all that sort of stuff and maybe cashing in or the end? Or is it going to be those 60, you know, a couple 60, 50 yard runs that directly relate to touchdowns? Certainly could be the difference in this game. And for Nebraska, too, I mean, it's going to be about pacing. As much as you can look at the Penn State record as well at 4-6, and say that not been good, is that they've played in every ball game. Okay, they might not have beaten the most impressive teams this year, to your point, but there's only one game that wasn't a game in their loss column, and that was Ohio State, which was a game. And going into the second half, I mean, so they've played two top 10 teams right down to the wire, Indiana and Oregon. There's no reason to believe Nebraska could come in here and steamroll them. So you gotta kind of have that in mind, even if you do go up 14, right? I mean, they could break off one of those long runs and get right back into it. But Nebraska and Penn State, the intriguing part about it is there's not going to be a whole lot of flair. There's not going to be a whole lot of guesswork. It's going to be who wins the ground game.
not a whole lot of flair. That's a kind way of putting it. So I get tired of every year hearing how easy Penn State's schedule is. You know that's not the case this year, right? To their credit, Oregon, okay, college football playoff team. Iowa, top 25 team, probably will finish top 25, depending on what happened Black Friday. Ohio State, Indiana, like they've had a lot tougher schedule. Kind of how we're going to look next year, just if you're looking ahead. Now, that same team lost to UCLA and Northwestern. So we'll see what happens. I've been saving this stat. In conference play, their quarterback run has not been an issue. They're averaging less than 4 yards a carry in Big Ten play. That's a ginormous stat. Because to your point, if they rush for 180 yards, but they're averaging under 4 yards a carry, Nebraska's Achilles heel when it comes to stopping the run has been the big runs. Three big runs to Michigan. Maryland had a big run. Northwestern had a 50-plus yard touchdown run called back. And if you watch it, I think you just pancaked our guy. Have I told you that referee crew, they're being reprimanded for that game?
Which one's that?
The Northwestern Nebraska referee crew.
Did I ever tell you that?
Yeah, they're being reprimanded. That's how bad it was. That was the time when I went on air and cried and whined afterwards. I didn't cry and whine, but I'm just going to poke fun at myself. I made a stink of it. I feel justified now.
Okay? Well, yeah, Northwestern had some arguments in that one as well.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was both ways. People thought I was whining for Nebraska. No, I was complaining in general. Now I feel justified. Obviously, I did in the moment, but, you know, it could be wrong. It's happened before once or twice in eternity or 1,000 times. So my point is, it's the big runs. If we can limit the big runs, the key stat of the game may be Penn State's yards per carry. That may be the – if they run for 180 and they ran the ball 45, 50 times, we might have won. But if they run for 180 on their first 15 carries, we're in trouble. And keep in mind, Nebraska – one of only 7 teams in the entire country, 136 FBS teams, has not allowed over 400 total yards in a game. Okay? So keep that in mind. All right, a couple of other stats. Now, to balance this out, we've beaten 2 teams with a winning record so far this year in FBS. So not a ton. The combined records of the teams that we played so far this year, do you want to know what it is?
Sure.
28-44. And we got to look at it both ways. You take Cincinnati out of it, and it's 21-41. Someone sent this to me. Why they randomly chose to take Cincinnati out, I don't know. But I did. I'm like, this is correct. So it goes both ways a little bit. All right, a couple of quick thoughts before we head to break, because I know you're getting panicky over there. You look at special teams. We have the advantage on special teams. It is so fun every freaking week to say we have this advantage on special teams. More often than not, we have the advantage in turnovers and penalties. I just enjoy being able to say that instead of, oh, that's something we've got to overcome every week like we've had in recent years.
It is worth noting, Penn State will not hurt themselves in the penalty department,
though. No, they're very disciplined. That's why I went to special teams and I left that out. Thanks, Bad News Buck.
Yeah, no problem. You mentioned it briefly. I said, oh, there, I got a chance.
No, I like it. No, you keep us balanced. You keep us balanced, and I think people look forward to the bad news. All right, do it. Roll it. Bad News Buck. Roll it, dude. Roll it.
I don't have it.
You don't have it? Okay, let me read these stats. Let me know if you have it after this. So when it comes to special teams rankings, we are top 20 in kick return yards, punt return yards, kick return defense, and punt return defense. Think about that for a second. All right. RG3 puts out his Heisman rankings as the season goes along. Jacob Rodriguez, linebacker from Texas Tech, he's high up on everyone's board. I love that. You know, his stats are better than Manti Te'o's. There's an insert catfish joke here, but I'm not going to do it. But like his stats are up there. The last linebacker to go to New York. They're actually better. All right, Marcel Reed, Texas A&M quarterback. Fernando Mendoza, Indiana quarterback. Julian Sain, Ohio State quarterback. Haynes King, Georgia Tech quarterback. And this is the one I have beef with. Not that he doesn't deserve to be there, but if Jeremiah Love is ahead of Emmett, are we looking at individual performances? Which Jeremiah is a stud. I might pop him in the first round if I'm an NFL team. And teams don't pop backs in the first round. But why is he ahead of Emmett when Emmett's got the advantage in almost every statistical category? That's my thing. Here's another stat that's not been talked about. Emmett Johnson. Oh, wow. I don't even want to say this out loud. I'm going to knock on wood. Is this wood? All right, I'm just going to use my head. That works. He only has 1 fumble this year. That's amazing. If he fumbles this weekend, I accept no responsibility in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying. I trust him that much. Did you get the bad news, Bach?
Yeah, I did.
All right, go ahead.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Bad news. Bad, 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 bad news.
So, why not promote one of your sponsors after something like that? just the timing, nothing more. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go to break, check out Mulberry Barbecue. They're good, our good friends here on the show. Mulberry Barbecue now has two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos. Ladies and gentlemen, a delicious full slab of ribs. I'm personally partial to those. A half-smoked chicken and much, much more. Plus, get incredible sides or get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker. And it's 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. So I told Jake, we got three clips to play. I was like, let's start off the show with three clips. Didn't get to them. We were supposed to run them yesterday. You remember that?
Yeah.
Didn't get to them. Didn't we have these on Tuesday as well?
I think we've had a few of them.
Wasn't it last week we got through six in one segment? Was it six?
Yeah.
We don't have six. We have three clips. We are going to get through them, by golly, in the next segment and in the final segment. I'm going to quit dodging and make Jake give his prediction for Nebraska versus Penn State. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.